Yes, I'm Zane Darnell with Whitefields Overseas Evangelism out of Joplin, Missouri. I was going to tell Joel that a lot of VBSs I go to get kids motivated, they like set them a goal and like however much money and then shave their heads. But I don't know if Joel wants his head shaved if they reach a certain amount. Usually they do the preacher, but well, I mean, kind of got to leave him out, so. Sorry about that, bud. Now, you guys support Whitefields. You support our work in Cuba. You support two of the preachers down in Cuba. I want to tell you just a little bit. The work down there is going great. Our main leader in Cuba, Manolo Bermudez, passed away last year. And so we've had a little bit of problems there because, you know, others wanting to step up to kind of take his place. But we really don't need anybody with so much. We used him in the past, especially in the 90s, because we needed somebody to communicate with. Well, technology today, we can communicate with about anybody down there now. But with him passing, we've had to start over our paperwork to get the Christian church recognized. There hasn't been any new churches recognized in Cuba since 1953 because of the Castro government. But they got a new constitution coming in, and it kind of looks like that they are going to start letting some new churches register. And so that's what we're hoping and praying for. We got 28 house churches meeting in and around Havana, all over parts of Cuba. We also have 12 students currently enrolled in the Cuba Bible Institute. And I don't know if any of y'all ever heard of Mid-South Christian College out of Memphis. We use their associate's program as the courses that we teach these students down there. And the reason why we do that is we're kind of hoping once we can get recognized, we might even be able, because Mid-South would like to come in and be able to actually offer them, instead of like just a certificate, offer them an actual degree. Associate's degree. But anyway, I'm here to talk about missions this morning. We know the command, and we must do work any way we can. I want to talk about 3 points: missions, methods, and motivations. We all watch TV, we see these award shows and things like that. They always do these red carpets showing, you know, best dressed and things like that. But I mean, who really cares? I mean, God doesn't care about those people in Hollywood no more than he cares about us. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Yes, I will be showing, thank you, some slides back here just to kind of show different work that Whitefields does. But he doesn't care about them no more than he cares about us or a child with AIDS or the people in Papua New Guinea. But we need to think about worldwide missions because God thinks about all the people in the world. He just isn't concerned with what's going on here. He has every hair on every head in the universe counted. So his love and compassion shows no limit. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Our mission is to make disciples or followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we believe he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and Savior. And it is our desire to turn people towards him. I read an article a while back in Christianity Today, and it says South Korea sends more missionaries out than any other place besides the U.S. And it won't be long that they'll be number one. Samuel Kang, he was a leader in the world's fastest growing missionary movement. He was born in Japan. That was back when the Japanese Empire was forcing Shinto beliefs onto the Koreans. At the end of World War II, the Kang family returned to Korea. They grew deeper in their faith. And they also dedicated their son Samuel to God. And they told him, you will become a pastor. Well, Samuel didn't like that. I mean, he rebelled because his parents didn't ask him if that's what he wanted to do. So he resisted God's call. But by the time he was 20, his heart had softened. And he felt compelled to give himself to God. He says, no one can escape that sovereign call. It took another 20 years of discipling before Cain set foot on a mission field. Him and his wife Sarah left South Korea for Nigeria. When they departed in 1980, there were only 93 Korean missionaries worldwide. During the next 11 years, they raised a family. They planted Nigerian churches. They started a Bible college for Nigerian pastors. He said, the Lord gave me this wonderful opportunity to serve him. And if God was ever giving me another life, he said, I'll give it to him as a missionary. He doesn't look back often, but he is leading an ambitious 25-year plan to help South Korea send out more missionaries than any other country. They say South Korea, they send out 1 missionary for every 4.2 congregations, and that places them as 11th in the world. And the United States is not even in the top 10. Department chair at Wheaton College says, the day of Western missionary dominance is over. And not because our Western missionaries have died off, but because the rest of the world has caught the vision and is engaged and energized. God wants us to catch that vision of worldwide missions. We must go into all the world, not just Ohio, not just Missouri, where I'm from, not just America, all the world. I want to talk a little bit about methods. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, he says, those who have been scattered preach the word wherever they go. And in Matthew 10:7, as you go, preach the messages, the kingdom of heaven is near. Everyone needs a method to their madness, whatever it is. I'd heard a story about a man who ran marathons, 14 marathons, including the Boston Marathon. And he says, you just don't go out and run a marathon. You have to train for it. You have to have a method for it. And he says, so when I decided to run my first marathon, runners would tell me, say, go run 20 miles, and said, you can run a marathon. Well, of course, a marathon is 26.2 miles, and he found out that they lied. He said, I ran 20 miles in training for about 3 or 4 weeks before my first marathon, and when I got to 20 miles, my body just shut down. So he said, I discovered a better way. He said, a better method for my marathon preparation. I found out if I run at least 22 miles in training and did that several times over the course of 3 to 4 months, then and only then could I run the marathon distance. So he had a method to his madness. There must be a method to worldwide missions work. There's translation work. There's medical work. There's construction work. There's humanitarian work. There's preaching. There's teaching. There's all sorts of work. And White Fields, we do all that stuff. And there's also one-on-one. We have to have one-on-one with people also. But the basic method for worldwide missions or evangelism is this. Number one, someone has to go. And number two, someone has to send. We either go or else send someone in our place. That's the method of worldwide missions. So we need to decide what we're going to do. Are you going to go or are you going to send someone? A lot of people say, hey, you know, I'm too old for that. That's not true. I was telling them earlier, we had a couple, they're passed away now. They were 95, both of them, husband and wife, traveled with us everywhere. I mean, went to Russia, India. And so age does not make any difference at all. Another article I'd read was about one church and one disease. They said, defeating HIV is going to take generations of the faithful. How will Christians decades from now look back on what we did and did not do through our families, churches, and governments? What will they say to us when we Americans decided that $15 billion over 5 years was all we were willing to spend to defeat HIV globally? Experts say it'll take $12 billion a year from all sources to defeat HIV. One organization that has defeated disease is Rotary International with polio. There are 1.2 million Rotarians around the world. Now, just imagine what 2 billion Christians might accomplish to fight, you know, against one disease. Imagine the possibilities for proving church-mocking skeptics wrong. Imagine closed doors opening for the gospel. Imagine a life saved. So what are we saying? We can do far more than we think we can. The Lord's church can do far more in regard to reaching the lost in this world. 2 cents. That's the amount spent on overseas missions for every dollar donated by a congregation. And this was in a survey of 28 Protestant denominations. 10 cents is the amount of overseas spent on overseas missions for every dollar back in 1920. So what has happened to our missionary zeal? The method is we either go or send someone else in our place. So we must have motivation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 says, if we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Back in the 90s, speaking of methods and motivation, back in the 90s, I was in Liberia, West Africa. And I was just leaving, and I was flying Ghana Airways, which I suggest, well, I think they're under now, but I was going to say never fly them. But we had to fly in Sierra Leone, and they were in the middle of a civil war. And I had heard through radio and TV that they were like 20 miles outside the airport. But all these refugees were fleeing. I mean, these rebels, I mean, they were brutal to these refugees. I mean, killing them left and right. So people were fleeing for their lives. So anyway, so we took off, and it was just me and another man on this plane, because he had flown in from somewhere else because he had to land in Liberia. So we got Sierra Leone. We had to get off the plane because they wanted to sweep it for bombs. There was British military all over the place. And next thing I know, we got back on a plane where they're bringing all these refugees out. And I mean, these people had every belonging in their, you know, that they had bringing with them. Ended up staying in Sierra Leone because they were trying to get these people out of that country, and they had no place to go. I ended up staying 3 extra days there with this other guy, which I finally realized after we had gotten off the plane, he was with the British military. And so we stayed 3 extra days just right there at the airport, so they could get more people out. Well, just seeing that, you know, kind of made me motivated, like, okay, we need to do something here in Sierra Leone. And we have. We've actually, some of our preachers from Liberia have gone over there, have gone into some of these villages that were ransacked and stuff, and we have. We've ministered to these people, the ones that ended up staying behind, and we've actually have started some churches there. But also through that, which I would kind of consider a method, this man, Willie, who works for the British military, me and him have been friends now for almost 20 years, because it's been probably about 20 years when this happened. And he has actually helped us, through his contacts, get into some countries that we normally would not have been able to get into being American citizens. And so, I mean, it's just things like that. you just never know, whatever you do, how that might, you know, have like a ripple effect on down the road. So I kind of look at, you know, what I did over at Sierra Leone was like a method to my madness, and it took 20 years, but it actually has kind of paid off. Tony Gwynn, San Diego Padres, 1982 to 2001, one of the best hitters, won 8 batting titles. They asked him, they said, what is the secret for what you do? And he said, you've got to have a passion for the game, a love for the game. And that's what helps me to do what I do. His general manager even said he thinks the key thing is his passion for the game and his passion of what you do. He never takes anything for granted, and you keep trying to hone your skills and be better. Mel Gibson did a Passion for Christ. And through that film, Campus Crusade was showing the film, and a young Muslim man came to Christ because of it. He said, I was raised a Muslim by my father. I was never really fond of religion. After seeing the Passion of Christ and knowing Jesus did so much for me, it opened my eyes. It made me wonder if I was worth it. I think I'm not worth it. He did it so much for us, and yet people reject him. Well, not me, because today, until the day I die and so on, I'll always love him because he saved me, and also because he loves me too. Thank God for those who have a passion for Christ. If we have a passion for Christ, we need to get out. We need to get out and reach people to know Christ. Over in Cuba, I told you guys about our main preacher passing away. Well, we did. We had a few preachers that, you know, like I said, kind of wanting to come up. But this one preacher, Rolando, he told all the preachers, he said, you know, he said, we do not need to be worried about the government as far as getting things registered. We don't need to be worried about, okay, how are we going to be able to stay in contact with Zane and Lori and Reggie. He said, our main thing that we should be worried about is getting out and winning these people to Christ. And I agree with him. I mean, that is the attitude that everybody should have. We need to have the preachers overseas. And that's one thing I've noticed overseas. I mean, they do. They will get out and go and show the love for Christ. So what is our mission? Reach people for Christ. And what type of method? Any method. I mean, some people are nurses. Some people are teachers. My wife has always told people, hey, we'll take people to our orphanages just to sit there and, you know, love on the kids, play with the kids, things like that. There is always a method to be able to do overseas work. And the motivation is the love of Christ in us. If the love of Christ doesn't motivate us, I don't know what will. Thank you.